Speaking of blokes not struggling, Johnny Gray, absolute legend. Cricket, yeah. Rugby union, rugby league. He's our legend of the game. Up next on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
It's aware an Australian man has been deported from India after security officers reportedly uncovered strong indications he was an Islamic State supporter. Malay-Australian Ahmad Fahim bin Hamad Awang was detained at New Delhi's Indira Gandhi International Airport after arriving on a flight from Perth on Thursday night. The Indian Express reports security officers acting on a tip-off discovered IS propaganda on his laptop as well as photos of him posing with firearms. Opposition leader Luke Foley says New South Wales should follow Victoria's lead and offer to settle Australian-born refugee children and their families. Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews has drawn support from advocacy groups after offering to provide housing, health, education and welfare services for 267 asylum seekers, including 37 Australian-born infants. Luke Foley wants the New South Wales government to do the same, but Premier Mike Baird says his government's focus is on supporting refugees from Syria. Queensland police are investigating after a stolen vehicle was located submerged in a flooded creek at Gracemere near Brisbane yesterday. Around 10:45, police were advised of the utility being found in a creek on Ferry Bower Road. A swift water rescue team searched the creek and vehicle but failed to locate anyone. The vehicle was removed from the flooded creek and seized by police. A new report predicts Australians living in our cities will soon be making a so-called e-change to country and coastal locations. The report identifies more than 600 towns expected to harness fast broadband and attract Aussies looking to work from home, minimise commute times and increase their quality of life. Demographer Bernard Salt says the dream may not be far away.
What I think we'll see over the next decade with the advent of super connectivity delivered by the NBN rollout is the evolution of an e-change where people move from big regional cities to smaller nearby towns to soak up the lifestyle and to effectively telecommute or to set up their own businesses, in fact.
At least 14 people have been killed and hundreds injured when a 6.4 magnitude earthquake struck southern Taiwan. More than half the victims were in a 17-storey apartment building that collapsed in Tainan City. It's said to be home to around 250 people in 96 households. The effects of the quake were felt throughout the island. Australian beef has been blamed for a mass E. coli outbreak at US fast food chain Chipotle, despite authorities finding the cause of the outbreak in 14 states unclear. The Centre for Disease Control and Prevention reportedly closed their investigation after being unable to pinpoint any of the 64 ingredients used by the restaurants as the likely culprit. The Mexican food chain is continuing to serve Australian beef, but has reportedly begun taking additional precautions, including testing the meat for pathogens and implementing measures to avoid staff members directly handling the raw beef. Managers and pilots of Air Berlin have agreed to pay cuts as the struggling German airline tries to rein in costs with a new restructuring program. About 80 managers will see their remuneration slashed by between 5 and 10%. About 80 managers will see their remuneration slashed by between 5 and 10% this year, and the pilots will also make a contribution to the latest cost-cutting effort. Also in news, rescuers are still searching for three people trapped underground after a collapse at a South African mine, and two people have tested positive for Zika virus in Queensland. This is AIR News. Brisbane Roar sent a stern message to their A-League rivals by tearing a 10-man Central Coast to shreds with a ruthless 4-0 win. Jade North, the informed Jamie McLaren, Corona and super sub Enrique each found the back of the net as the title-hunting Roar handed the Mariners a harsh reality check in rainy conditions. Brisbane were untroubled by the competition's bottom-placed side, who were on the back foot for almost the entire 90 minutes. To cricket, and Mitch Marsh showed incredible temperament and technique as he helped level the Trans-Tasman one-day series in Wellington yesterday. The pressure was on as Australia began a sputtering chase after New Zealand's total of 9 for 281. Marsh came to the crease after a collapse of 4 for 22. He guided his side from 4 for 111 to 6 for 283, finishing 69 not out to secure a 4-wicket win with 21 deliveries remaining. Kiwi captain Brendan McCullum told Macquarie his side's total was at least 20 runs short of what they needed.
Yeah, I thought we were just okay. We probably got par, maybe just slightly under par, but and it probably summed up the whole game for us. We were just okay through the game. We were in it for a long time.
Kate Campbell has won the latest instalment of her rivalry against her sister Bronte, claiming the 100-metre freestyle at the Perth Aquatic Super Series last night. Kate recorded a time of 53.02 seconds to touch 0.28 seconds ahead of her fast-finishing sibling. The result is a reverse of the 2015 World Championship finish. Australian Independent Radio News.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
And this morning, traffic moving really well on Sydney roads. No accidents or breakdowns to report. There are special link clearways, Balmain Road at Darling Street, Lilyfield for a festival later today, and also some special link clearways at Allianz Stadium, Moore Park for the Rugby Sevens. The only to occupy property in the City of Sydney, the election rules have changed, but if you're eligible at cityofsydney.nsw.gov.au today. Number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, early fog patches in the outer west, partly cloudy, light winds, possible rainfall, very minimal chance today, but deceptively powerful surf conditions are expected to be hazardous for coastal activities such as rock fishing and swimming, so just be careful there. But Sydney, beautiful day today, partly cloudy, top of 27. Jimmy, what about at Bondi and at Wagga Wagga?
Bondi, 25 degrees today, so a little bit cooler on the coast. And then Wagga Wagga, we're going inland to the Riverina, and it's not Wagga, it's Wagga Wagga. Mm. You've got to say it double. You know why? Because it's an Aboriginal word, and it pluralises it.
Okay.
So it's the place of many crows.
Ah, I see. Hence the pluralising
so you say
Wagga
Wagga.
Wagga.
Okay. And Woi Woi is deep water. Not just water, deep water.
Do you know what Gunnagunu is? And it's actually spelled Gunu Gunu.
No, I don't.
It needed a Y, but it's pronounced Gunnagunu. It's the main road in Tamworth. I have to check that up now.
See, Curry Curry's another one.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
We'll have to check it up here.
Anyway, we've got some homework to do. Anyway, by the way, 33 degrees and sunny at Wagga Wagga.
John Newell Mazda is celebrating 25 years as a Mazda dealer. To mark the occasion, my mates have unbeatable deals across the entire Mazda range with great drive-away specials, free accessories on selected models and a bunch of ex-demo models priced to clear. Plus, purchase any new car from John Newell Mazda during the sale for a chance to win $25,000 cash. Take advantage of these incredible offers today. See John Newell Mazda, O'Regan Street, Alexandria or johnnewellmazda.com.au. DL395.
Whether you're building or renovating, before you decide on your choice of windows or doors, take a closer look
at Wideline's brand new website, where you'll find our U-Beaut online quoting app.
Just upload your plans or tell us what you require and receive your free quote within 48 hours.
Even if it's only a few windows you need, we're here to help, no problems.
Wideline's quoting app is open 24 hours. You can even save your new quotes or edit old ones.
Time to take a closer look at WidelineWindowsAndDoors.com.au. Sports Radio, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Chock full of sporting news and views from around the country and around the world. Plus, have your say. Here's Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Final hour, right up until 9 o'clock, Ray and Jimmy. And it's been a massive show, Ray. But
always,
it's just
as
about
you
to
say,
get
Jimmy.
Bigger. Yeah, John Gray's our legend. We're going to speak to him very shortly. Trent Lanscow from tab.com.au. Nick Walshaw over there for the News Limited, the Daily Telegraph. He'll give us an update on the Auckland Nine, some injuries coming out of that, which no one likes to see. And, of course, we'll take your calls as well, 1353 53. We'll have our second and third question for this
Vet
Cinema quiz. But really looking forward to speaking to our legend of today. It's multi-sport that he's got a background in, cricket, rugby union and rugby league. It's great to be joined on the phone by England international, Great Britain international and Warwickshire bowler, left armour.
Left hand bat as well.
Yeah, John Gray. G'day, John.
Tim, how are you? Ray, lovely to speak to you both.
Good morning, John.
How do we find you today, John? What's happening for you on this Sunday morning in February?
Just actually cooked breakfast. Got up very early because I wanted to be as sharp as a tack for you, Chris. But it's a bit too early for me, so I'm not as sharp as a tack.
Oh, on you, John.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Well, John, a lot of our listeners would obviously remember you from your days playing for Manly and for North Sydney, and indeed probably remember you playing in that Great Britain team in 74, and you're often said to be the person who introduced the round-the-corner style kicking to Australian rugby league. But people may not know you played cricket at a high level, and as Jimmy said, you played rugby union for England. So what was your favourite sport, John?
I have to say, favourite sport was rugby league.
Okay.
I used to play a lot of seven-a-side rugby, and in fact, my last game of rugby union was the Scottish Centenary Sevens, where they invited all the nations, rugby-playing nations of the world, for a huge. It's a one-day event on a Sunday, and we had South Africa there, we had New Zealand there, Australia there, France, England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, Fiji, and it was a really great tournament, and we happened to win it, and that was when a couple of scouts came to me and sort of asked if I was interested in playing rugby league. I'd never seen a game of rugby league, but the money they were offering, I couldn't refuse.
Yeah.
As a teacher at the time, I was earning less than £1,000 a year, and they offered me £7,500, where it was tax-free as well. So
no-brainer, John.
It was absolute no-brainer. You wouldn't believe it. The first game I played for Wigan, who I went to play with, was a seven-a-side tournament as well, and we happened to win that. But I'd never played or seen a game of rugby league before I actually played that in that seven-a-side tournement.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's a fantastic game. Really, as you're involved all the time. At that particular time in rugby, as a hooker, what happened was you played, you went from ruck to maul, from maul to line out, from line out to the next ruck and maul. You never had the ball in your hands.
Mm.
So, it was quite a boring game in those days. You know, it was played where it was just a 9 or 10 man game. You know, it was all kick and line outs, and it was awful.
Yeah, what was the major difference you found in the games and playing for a famous club too, like Wigan, who demands success, and clearly you had some success there, John.
Yeah, it was totally different. What I did have, and which not all rugby union players who turn rugby league did get, was help from players.
Right.
How to run, how to look after yourself. Of course, there was a lot of nasty injuries used to happen there with the elbows and stiff arms it was because the judiciary system was quite poor. Players got away with a lot of things that they shouldn't have got away with, and that was a lot of the time because the linesmen weren't giving enough authority to come onto the pitch or to actually lay blame for some of these injuries, and a lot of the times the referees didn't actually want to go to Leeds, where the judiciary head office was, because it was such a long trip. They on a Monday they'd have to spend 4 or 5 hours travelling there if they were from, Workington or Whitehaven or somewhere like that.
Yeah, how think times have changed, haven't they, John, with the professionals and the sport?
Yeah.
You also played an era of contested scrums, John, and do you lament what's happened to the scrum in the modern game?
It is a shame because the front row were an integral part of your team, and it was very much more than it is today. It was so you had to have an open side prop who could help with his feet, could make sure that the hooker had plenty of room to strike at the ball, and of course you had to have a hooker who could strike. Often those were your first two picked players, because if you went into a game and got hammered in the scrums, it meant even as a, if you had the top players, top backside side in the backs in the world, it didn't make any difference if you didn't get the ball.
Yeah. Tell us about the 1974 Great Britain tour, because your ascension into the elite ranks of rugby league happened very quickly, obviously coming across with a big reputation from rugby union. But, famous tours, were those the tours you used to stay at the Olympic Hotel just across the road from the Sydney Cricket Ground? And tell us about time touring back in that. It was a professional age, but it was far from the professional nature we know of the game now.
Oh, correct. It wasn't. In fact, the Olympic was the first time they'd moved from the Olympic the Coogee Bay Hotel. So we actually stepped up a grade. it was beautiful down there by the water. I could tell you we trained at Ranwick's ground there as well.
Coogee Oval?
Yeah, Coogee Oval. We actually flew in to Darwin from Manchester, and it was -3 leaving Manchester, and it was 39 when we got into Darwin. And, you know, it was like being hit with a dry blanket. We just couldn't breathe. We trained, we were all fit, and we trained hard, but I tell you what, going from cold to hot is very hard. Going from hot to cold, when you talk about in terms of playing, is much easier. So I always reckon the Australians always had it easier, going from warmer climate to
the cold.
To the cool. It's you feel like you can take deep breaths all the time. You know, the air is just in your lungs all the time. But when it's hot, it's diabolical. But we went across then from Darwin over to Cairns, where we were getting the super treatment as well. We were really looked after, and Kevin Humphreys at the time, who was president of or chairman of the Australian Rugby League, he made sure we were looked after really well. And I think that went against us, because we were looked after all the way down to Townsville, down to Wide Bay, and down to Brisbane. And then had played the first test, and that was a real eye-opener for us, because we hadn't played a hard game before the first test. And we lost it 12-6, and it was very difficult for us to really pick ourselves up after that. But Kevin Humphreys came to us in Grafton and had a talk with us all, and he said, unless you blokes pull your socks up, unless you do something better in this second test, it's going to be a total disaster. And in terms of financially, and in the third test, unless you really make something of your second test, there won't be anybody there. And we were quite shocked that somebody could turn around to us and talk in those terms. We thought it was a bit rude, but he was dead right.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
Sorry, John.
Yeah, go on, Ray.
I was going to say, you came into the team for the second test and basically kicked Great Britain to victory. I think it was 16-11 by memory, and set up the decider.
We did. We won 16-11, and we weren't expected to win, but it was a terrific game. It was a very, very hard game. One of the hardest I've ever played in. And, I mean, Australia had some fantastic players.
And Bobby Fulton and all those guys.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Arthur Beetson and Lurch O'Neill, and there was Bobby McCarthy. And,
a great team.
It was just a side that...
Changa Langlands,
Changa, he was at fullback. I mean, what happened with them is, they had to be just slightly off their game, and everything had to go for us, which actually happened. But then we had the final test, where it was a packed house, and we were winning 16-5 at half time. And then we had a bit of a problem with the referee, and we got 9-0 second half penalties, and Changa kicked them, and we lost 22-18. That was then. From that particular day, that's when they had neutral referees for all internationals after that.
Yeah, right. It sounds a bit like that, John. Yeah.
Go on.
Why the move to Australia, John? What prompted that? The tour?
The tour did. it was. We went on to New Zealand after that. We were here in Australia for 2 months, and then went to New Zealand for a month, and we went back to the UK after that. And I'll tell you what, I could have jumped on a plane and started those tour all over again. It was just so good. I mean, Australia was such a beautiful place, and so was in my eyes, New Zealand.
Yeah.
And you know, it was the place to be, and I got offered a contract with Eastern Suburbs after I got back. That's Artie Beetson actually, and Jack Gibson came over to England to negotiate a deal with Wigan to take me back over to play with Eastern Suburbs, but they put such a high price on me, it was ridiculous. So that fell through, but 6 months later, North Sydney made an offer, which Wigan said, if you want to go, we'll accept their offer, and you can, you know, arrange and deal your own contract when you get over there, or from here, from now, and if you want to go.
Yeah.
So I said, well, as a single person, I said, well, why wouldn't I go? Yeah. You know, it's I could get a. They promised me I could get a job as well, teaching, because I was a school teacher, and so I thought I might as well go for 3 years. So I was going for 3 years originally. Then I went from Norse to Manly, mm-hmm. and had 3 years there. Then I went back to Norse for 4 years, and by then I'd been married and got a couple of children, and
you weren't going anywhere.
I wasn't going anywhere.
Exactly. Well, John, I guess there's so many highlights through your career, but if I can use the word low light, you got sent off in the major semi when you went to Manly in '78, and that cost you a place in Manly's winning grand final team that year.
It was. I always regretted that. It was something I just a bloody head moment, you know, where that I just went. Everything was going wrong in the game against Parramatta, and it was just an explosion. But you know, you wouldn't believe it. Changed the game round in actual fact, and the boys pulled from behind and won the game. But that was the only game I'd missed all year. I played in every game, and I was very sad about it. But the main thing is, bigger picture, Manly won the game, won the championship, so the premiership. So that was the main thing. And of course, it's all about the club, not the players.
Yeah. Just on that round the corner kicking, John, did everyone do it in the UK, and you brought it out here, or was it a quite unique in the UK as well?
No, it wasn't unique in the UK, because of course we were all brought up playing soccer.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the UK, and the majority of players were still toe pokers in the UK, but there was a lot more of players kicking round the corner. In fact, at my club, which was Coventry Rugby Union Club, there was the 5'8" and the fullback who were toe pokers, and I used to challenge them in training to let's see who can kick better, because I think I can do better than they could. But you know, it was a rule in rugby union in those days. The only people who took kicks were the 5'8" and the fullback. You know, because that was tradition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it made me convert, Jimmy.
You were around the corner.
I was at the time. I was a toe poker. And
yeah.
I was a young kid, and you couldn't get the ball off the ground as a young kid, John. And I remember watching that test series and watching you kicking, and I went out the backyard, and straight away the first thing you noticed was you can get elevation with the football a lot easier, and it went from there.
Yes, absolutely. The one thing that a lot of people at the beginning, when they'd seen me kick that way, a lot of them couldn't do it because they couldn't swing their leg around, because they'd not been used to doing that, because they'd never played soccer at all. So it was a very unusual sort of motion for them, and it just wouldn't. They couldn't do it. You ought to have seen the North Sydney blokes who tried to do it. Training. Oh God, it was a laugh watching them. You know. People like Mark Graham and Donny McKinnon and those
big
long lanky blokes, and they just couldn't get it.
John, fabulous talking to you, mate. We've had someone ring in and say, did you used to call the rugby on 2KY?
I did.
Yeah, right.
Rugby league 2KY with Jeff Prenter. Did it for about 6 years.
Oh, wow.
John, what haven't you done? Leading racehorse owners?
Yeah.
Successful businessman?
Yeah. Hey, it's all happening. Hey, John, it's been great. Yeah. A great trip down memory lane. I'm sure our listeners have appreciated it as well. We've had a good time doing it and really appreciate you giving us your time on a Sunday morning.
It's not a problem, and it's a great program you two have got, and may you last a long, long time, Jim and Ray.
Oh, we hope so.
Oh, why? What have you heard, John?
It's week by week, I think, John.
I don't think so. I think you two have got it cracked.
If you can put a good word in for us, John, that'd be John, much appreciated.
Compliments will get you everywhere. Great to have a chat, mate.
Right.
Have a great day, we appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, John.
There he is, John Gray. First-class cricket for Warwickshire. You know, he got 5 for 2 in a first-class
really
game.
Is.
He got 5 for 2. Played rugby union for England, albeit at sevens, and then converted to rugby league and was a... Yeah. You know, he played till he was 34, too.
First-class man, too. Really, really terrific bloke.
That was a treat. John Gray. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Edition.
Hi, it's Andrew Bensley. Racing HQ is your one-stop shop for betting information. We speak to trainers like Anthony Cummings.
The step up to the mile and going to Randwick is going to be very much in his favour. He's already shown us that he can handle a wet track at least to a point. Randwick's certainly a much different wet track to Warwick Farm.
We'll be back on Tuesday morning for Racing HQ at 9 on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Always a winner. Yeah, you're
from that foray out in the backyard, did you become an around-the-corner kicker forever?
Because I was kicking from a club at the time. And
yeah, okay.
Yeah, I had an AFL background.
Right.
And so when I came to the club, I could kick as a young kid. So straight
but
away
that's different,
me,
though, because you're
yes,
front on.
But my father was a rugby league player, so I was also taught how to toe poke.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, we there digress again.
Again. Nothing like us digressing, is there? Right now is the perfect time for you to enjoy Coco Joy's range of all-natural coconut-based products. Let me tell you, there's no better refresher than Coco Joy 100% coconut water. It's naturally sweet and it's chock full of goodness. And there's no nasties. There's no added sugar. There's no preservatives or there's no concentrates. Compared with other typical sports drinks, it also contains higher levels of potassium, fewer calories and less sodium, which all assists with recovery after exercise. You're running today?
Absolutely.
Great. How far?
Probably 8 to 10, maybe. I've got work to as well.
So. Great news if you're into your sport or always on the move. Coco Joy 100% coconut water is also dairy, gluten and soy free. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy at a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
And welcome back to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Show. And now is the time to catch up with Trent Langscale with all the latest tab sports bet odds. Trent, good morning. And the Auckland Nines is about to kick off again.
Good morning to you, Ray. And there is plenty going on. And the Auckland Nines will resume shortly. Those matches coming thick and fast yesterday. And they continue to do so. We have the last of the pool matches coming up this morning. Won't go through all of them, but we'll go through the first four starting in around about 10 minutes where the Sydney Roosters at $2.65 against Melbourne at $1.48. After that, you have South $2.40 against Parramatta $1.57. Newcastle $1.57 as they play West Tigers at $2.40. And then North Queensland $1.53 against Penrith at $2.50. So as the day unfolds and we realise who's playing who, we'll just get the markets up as quickly as possible so there's no doubt about getting a bet on for the future matches. Just on the overall winner, the Warriors are still the favourites at $3.50. North Queensland $5. Cronulla $6. Melbourne, who were $41 before the start of yesterday, they're at $8 chance. Manly $9. Penrith $13. And Parramatta, the next best, at $17. So that's the Auckland Nines. And fellas, should also mention the Sydney Rugby Sevens got the winner market there. Fiji $2.55 favourite. New Zealand and South Africa both at $3, and Australia given an $11 chance.
Yeah, good on you, mate. Round 18 of the A-League. Couple of games. I think Andy Pascalides has gone for Perth and Melbourne City, or draw into Melbourne City on this one. What are the prices, mate?
Well, with these ones, Jimmy, from 3 o'clock at Westpac Stadium, they had cricket there yesterday and they'll have the soccer today. You've got Wellington $2.35 there against Perth at $2.60. The draw at $3.75. Then at 5 o'clock there at Hunter Stadium, Newcastle, their $4.50 chances, despite being at home to Melbourne City, who are firm favourites at $1.60, and the draw $4.35. So the last two games for round 18 in the A-League. Also, two games left in round 25 of the EPL. Once again, Leicester City, the Cinderella story continues overnight, with the matches being played in the early hours of tomorrow morning at 12:30. Arsenal, who haven't won in their last four EPL matches, they're $1.95 favourites away to Bournemouth. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, this would have been the headline match usually of a round, but not the case this year. Chelsea and Manchester United at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea $2.05, the draw $3.25, and Manchester United $3.50.
But speaking of headline matches, Trent, tomorrow morning, the Denver Broncos versus the Carolina Panthers in Super Bowl 50.
This will be the big one, Ray, tomorrow morning from Levi Stadium, the home of the San Francisco 49ers. And the Denver Broncos have continued to drift since we knew who'd be playing in Super Bowl 50. They're now $3. The Carolina Panthers, $1.40, and that includes bets of $100,000 and $50,000 at $1.45. So the Panthers, they were 15-1 in the regular season, and they've been pretty good in the playoffs against the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. In line betting, Carolina's giving away a 5.5-point start. The over-under lines, there's 43.5, 45.5, and 47.5 points. There's the first touchdown scorer as well. Cam Newton's the $8 favourite there. And in the Super Bowl MVP, five of the last six Super Bowl MVPs have been quarterbacks. So it's no surprise that Cam Newton dominates there at $1.65. Peyton Manning, possibly in his last rodeo at $3.75. And then it's $21 or better the rest. And just a couple of little facts, fellas. The Denver Broncos, they're the designated home team. And they aren't wearing the orange. They've decided to wear the white. They've worn orange in four Super Bowls and been thrashed each time. So they're maybe a little bit superstitious. And the other thing is, in the last 11 Super Bowls, 10 have been won by the team wearing their away whites. So there could be something in that for the Carolina Panthers. They'll be in the all black. So there's a little bit for Super Bowl 50. Should also mention a big game in the NBA today at 1 o'clock on ESPN. Doesn't feature Ray's Cleveland Cavaliers, but we've got the Golden State Warriors, $1.25 at home to the Oklahoma City Thunder at $4.10. They're two of the better teams, particularly the Warriors. They were at the White House the other day with President Obama. So there's plenty of sport going on. To check it all out, you can head to tab.com.au.
Good on you, Trent. Appreciate that. Have a great day, mate.
There he is. He's gone. Jeez, fair enough. I think he talked himself out. He's got a word limit and he used it all up.
Trent
Lansbury from tab.com.au. And just a reminder, Dick Fane really likes the unders at the 45.5, remember he said earlier in the program. Time now for a sports update, though, with Tanya. Yeah.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
Australia and New Zealand head to Hamilton tomorrow, level at 1-1 in the three-match one-day cricket series. The Aussies won yesterday's match by 4 wickets, coming back from a middle-order collapse. Mitchell Marsh and John Hastings steered the ship to victory with an unbeaten partnership of 86, passing the 281 target with 21 balls remaining. The Roosters versus Melbourne, that's the first game on day two of the Auckland Nines. It starts fairly soon at about 4 minutes' time. That'll be followed by Parramatta and Souths at 9 o'clock. The quarterfinals today begin at 11:55, the semis just after 3, and the big one, the final, at 4:40. Australia play England at 12:19 today in the quarterfinal of the Rugby Sevens at Allianz Stadium. After wins yesterday over Portugal, Canada, and a 17-all draw with New Zealand last night. In other quarterfinals, the Kiwis play USA. It's Fiji versus Kenya, and South Africa take on Argentina. Western Sydney came back at the death and scored in the 89th minute to level 1-1 with Melbourne victory in the A-League match at Etihad Stadium, thus holding on to top spot on the A-League ladder. Level but behind on goal difference is Brisbane. They demolished the Central Coast 4-0. The Mariners were on the back foot for most of the match. Today it's Wellington and Perth, and Newcastle take on Melbourne City. Illawarra is into the finals of the NBL thanks to a thrilling 104-97 comeback victory against Townsville last night. The Hawks levelled at 89 apiece with a three-pointer on the siren and then went on to win in overtime. Kate Campbell got one back on Sister Bronte with victory in the 100 freestyle at the Perth Aquatic Super Series last night, while Cameron McAvoy is in great form heading into Rio. He swam another PB, winning the 50 free. In Super Rugby trials last night, the Crusaders 31 beat the Reds 3 at Ballymore, and in Wagga, in front of just over 7,000, the Waratahs 21 beat the Brumbies 17. And Amirs won yet another track cycling title with victory last night in the Kieran at the National Championships in Adelaide. It's her 36th national crown. Leicester has gone 5 points clear on the EPL table after a 3-1 away win over Manchester City. In other matches, Aston Villa 2, Norwich 0, Liverpool and Sunderland 2 all, Newcastle 1, West Brom 0, Stoke 0, Everton 3, Swansea and Crystal Palace 1 all, Tottenham 1, Watford 0, Southampton 1-0 over West Ham. Rick Kelly is setting the pace early in the Bathurst 12-hour endurance race, starting in the dark this morning at 5:45. The race will finish, obviously, at 5:45 this evening. And Brisbane has won baseball's Claxton Shield, defeating Adelaide 7-1 last night to take the Australian Championships in 2 games. Super Bowl 50, boys, halftime entertainment headlined by Coldplay this year with guest artist Beyonce. And her guest artist is Bruno Mars. Lady Gaga to sing the national anthem. So it's
good quartet.
It is, but Beyonce and Bruno Mars were only a couple of years ago.
What do you reckon Middle America says Coldplay? Never heard of it.
Coldplay, will he? Yeah. Sydney pubs are getting ready for the influx tomorrow morning because it is growing in popularity in Australia, obviously, and I think with Jared Haynes foray into the NFL this year, that's sort of boosted the interest in it. There's a pub in Paddington who say it's their biggest day of the year.
Really?
They open up at 8:30 and it's full by 9:30.
Yeah.
But some advice from the Human Resources Institute of New South Wales. Transparency is the best bet. Don't chuck a sickie and go and see it in your lunch break.
the problem is your lunch break's got to be 4.5 hours. Yeah. So that's the other thing about it is... The numbers I saw was that the people who watched Super Bowl 49, it was about 103,000 in Australia. The people who watched round one, San Francisco 49ers, was 116,000.
Oh, is that right?
Just because of the Jared Haynes. Yeah, absolutely.
And the viewing audience in the United States, 115 million people will tune in to watch the game.
Place all shut down.
Yeah.
Just about.
And when you consider parties and people going over to other people's houses and all that sort of thing, there's not many miss it.
It's Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday, yeah. And then as a result of that, we get this from Master Mackey. Thank you, Ten. Every Tuesday, my daughter entrusts me with the care of her four-year-old Audrey. As a result, I've encouraged an interest in the Melbourne Cup and its betting fluctuations. This Monday, for 5 hours, I plan to expose her to the nuances of American football, including overs and unders, rushing and receiving yards, and margins. Grandparenting is a big responsibility. Thank you, Martin. we do appreciate that. Now, we're going to have our second question of the Event Cinemas quiz.
We're late as usual.
Again, very late this time. John Gray, what was his profession outside of sport?
Ah, yes.
What was John Gray's profession outside of sport? There's his second question. We'll get a third question coming out of our chat with Nick Walshaw, who's over there for the Auckland Nines. That's coming up next.
Sky Sports Radio brings you Tab Market Movers to enhance your punting experience.
We've got a Tab Market Mover, Lismore, number 8, El Toby, $10 into $5, number 8.
Heavily supported, 18s into 5s, Lem's a prize. El Toby by 3 lengths.
Whether it's info from the studio or the track, Tab Market Movers are the way to go. Don't miss Tab Market Movers during the National Racing Service every day on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Texts and emails on the Big Sports Breakfast are brought to you by the Wideline Windows and Doors 24/7 online quoting app. Take a closer look at wideline.com.au.
John Newell Mazda is celebrating 25 years as a Mazda dealer. To mark the occasion, they have unbeatable deals across the entire Mazda range with great driveaway specials, free accessories on selected models, and a bunch of ex-demo models priced to clear. Plus, listen to this, Raymond. Purchase any new car from John Newell Mazda during the sale for a chance to win $25,000 in cash.
Great price.
It's like John Newell's an FM rock station, isn't it? Yeah. $25,000 cash, cold hard cash. The odds are sensational to win $25,000 cash. Take advantage of these incredible offers today. See John Newell Mazda, Arden Street, Alexandria, or go to the website johnnewellmazda2ls.com.au. DL395.
on Sky Sports Radio. Your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Just a quick one, Jimmy. A good friend of mine, Mark Guest, has just texted me. Craig Williams is going to lodge an appeal against an 8-meeting careless riding suspension so he can ride a terrific book of rides that he's locked in for next Saturday. It also means he'll get off his rides tomorrow at the Big Hobart meeting. But significantly, Jimmy's got some real talent next Saturday he wants to ride. They are...
Weatherly and Calliope in the Blue Diamond Prelude.
Yep.
Rising Romance in the All Stakes. Holler in the Autumn Stakes and Curo in the Rubiton Stakes.
No wonder he wants to get off on suspension.
Good chances there for Craig Williams, we've just got a first game of the second day of the Auckland Nines. The Roosters have scored a try through one of these boom youngsters that have revealed themselves. Well, a lot of people knew about them, but now they're seeing them up against the big boys. Latrell Mitchell went all the way. To tell us more about what's happening and in behind the scenes about the Auckland Nines, we've got Nick Walshaw, number one rugby league writer for the Daily Telegraph, joins us on the line. G'day, Nick.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Hiya, Nick.
Yeah.
Bit of an intro for you, Nick, wasn't it?
I'm sorry to say, Nick, that everyone who joins us from the Daily Telegraph said number one writer.
I'm taking it for at least as long as the interview lasts.
Number one NFL writer,
UFC. All right, the big thing coming out of this one is the injuries. Hardest hit is Manly. So we've got Jake Trbojevic won't play, but it's only a concussion. What's the latest on Jamie Bure and that potential broken jaw?
Mate, he's flown home this morning.
Right.
And it is a break. So not good news for him. So the latest, I just spoke to someone from Manly a minute ago, and they said that he's flown home. Not good news for them. Obviously Jake's concussion and he won't play today, but Bure definitely the big one.
Yeah, that's the downside, isn't it, Nick, that we do get these inevitable injuries in the Auckland Nines, but the upside is that the football's spectacular and we unearth some incredible talent, as Jimmy just mentioned earlier. Yesterday, Gideon Mosby had an extraordinary start to the tournament, and the Auckland Nines, it's made for people like Ben Barber, isn't it?
Oh, exactly, mate. Like, Gideon Mosby's just incredible and like a great story, you know. This kid from the Torres Strait Islands who was basically signed on the side of a road. A manager had been to a schoolboys game and was driving home and saw him. I think he was walking home from the carnival or something like that, and they basically pulled over and signed him up. Gee. You know, he scored, I think, four tries four times last year in the 20s. And, mate, he was outstanding yesterday. Scored a double in both his games. And, you know, I guess they're the highlights of this weekend, you know, getting to see some of these guys for the excel in NRL company.
I've never seen him up close. Have you seen him live? Is he a big fella at all, Nick?
Yeah, he's a decent size and obviously just motors. Just incredible speed. So, I mean, whether he gets a chance in the NRL this year, probably not. But, I mean, he's definitely going to be one to watch.
Yeah.
Enough what you've seen on day one, Nick. How do you think today will unfold? We've got three unbeaten teams going into day two. They're the Storm, Seagulls and Sharks. What's your early tip, mate?
Well, I still think the Warriors, you know what I mean? I know they got beat yesterday and they're under so much pressure over here every year.
How did Sean Johnson look, Nick?
Oh, he probably didn't run the footy as much as you would have liked. You know what I mean? I think I'd like to see him run the football a bit more today. But I mean, the great thing I think about the first day was the upsets. You know, the Warriors lost to Manly, the Cowboys lost to West Tigers. You know, I don't think anyone would have put any money on Canterbury beating the Bronx or the fact that the Broncos didn't win a game. You know, the Roosters lost two and should have won both. You know, like they're leading Melbourne now 7-0, and Melbourne didn't get beat yesterday.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's been the big positive. You know, the unpredictability of it all.
Yeah. What about the response of Auckland? They get great support from the government for this event. The great dress ups and everyone's, and it sells very well. Have you been able to notice that? And what are the plans for the future? Is this an event that's always going to stay at Auckland, or can they shop it around?
Yeah, well, that's what we're trying to talk about today and see you know what's the future for this. I mean, it just works here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the moment, like it's you don't need to tell the Aucklanders what to do. Like they know to turn up and they're all in fancy dress and they have a ball. Like it's an incredibly good atmosphere, and I think you're finding more and more Aussies fly over it now to be
yes.
part of it. You know, like there's a huge number of Australians here. That you run into who just want to be part of this great atmosphere. And the Aucklanders, you know, knew it would be like this from day one. I mean, whether it needs the Warriors to be successful or, you know, whether it can keep it up for, you know, 3, 5, 7 years, I'm not sure. I think eventually it'll have to go somewhere else.
Mm.
But, you know, short term, I think it's working outstanding here.
Yeah, certainly it's great to watch with the full house almost in both days. Nick, just a quick one. Update on Alex Johnston and his shoulder injury?
I spoke to someone this morning and they said that... They're still looking at it. I mean, he hasn't gone home yet.
Right.
It's still a bit up in the air. I think they're still waiting on further testing and stuff like that.
And of course, we've got to ask you the big game tomorrow, Super Bowl 50, Carolina Panthers, strong favourites against the Denver Broncos. I know you followed a lot of NFL this year with the Jared Haynes story. And of course, it's being played in Levi's Stadium, which is the home ground. What are your thoughts on the game itself, Nick?
I mean, obviously hard to go past the favourites, but I'd love to see Peyton Manning win it with the Broncos. You know, it's a great story, and you know, obviously the 49ers spent a fair bit of time like in the preseason with them. They had a week long there leading into their exhibition game, and did a couple of the post sessions together. So, I'd like to see the Broncos win it and Manning sort of win and go out with a Super Bowl, you know, but, you know, who knows? I think the favourites will be hard to beat.
Yeah, no, Carolina Panthers had a great year, 15-1. Look, Nick, I know we've dragged you off watching this first game, so look, we appreciate it, mate, and as always, a terrific coverage and best of luck over there, and we'll see you in the office during the week, Nick.
Will do. Thanks for having me, boys.
Good on you, Nick.
Number one rugby league writer for the Daily Telegraph.
Company Nick.
Dino Ritchie will be listening to that.
He won't be happy.
Hang on a minute. Yeah, of course. But it's whoever's on at the time. 1353 53, the open line number.
You can just feel it.
Can I say this? You're the number one racing writer at the Daily Telegraph?
Equal first with you. We do our best. We're a team.
Of course you do.
One team.
Great to hear Tanya is back where she belongs at 8:30. I'm sure she'd do a better job than the robot. Yeah, okay, we're better on the Paramat slagging off. Okay. Thank you, Paramat. We do appreciate that. Now, time for the third question of the Event Cinemas quiz. Where was Gideon Gillamosby signed by his manager? Give us a call now if you know that. For your chance to win a family pass to Event Cinemas, four standard tickets to Event Cinemas, 1353 53, the open line number. Shane is on the line, and he wants to have a word. G'day, Shane.
Hey, Jimmy, Ray, how are you, boys?
Good morning,
well,
Shane.
Mate, I can't believe the Broncos are paying $3. That's massive value. They're in this Super Bowl right up to their eyeballs, as far as I'm concerned.
Can Peyton Manning step up to the plate, Shane?
Look, I tell you what, Ray, if the Broncos can get 100 yards on the ground and give Peyton Manning that room to move and complete his passes, they're in it. They have the best defence in the NFL. Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, these two linebackers, mate, if they get on the edge and they can somehow get to Cam Newton and then they can pressure him, well, it's game on as far as I'm concerned. Look, it's the fourth time in a row that the two number one seeds have met, so the NFL's got to be happy with that. And it's the fourth time in a row that there's a black quarterback involved. So you can see a changing of the guard over there. And this Cam Newton, he describes himself as scary to the NFL because they've never seen a black quarterback like him. And I have never. I mean, you can go back to Donovan McNabb and Michael Vick. This guy's 6'5 and 250 pounds.
Yep.
And if they can't use their running game, they use him as a running back.
Mm.
And Peyton Manning, I mean, his record speaks for itself. I think a lot of people are going with Peyton because they'd love to see him ride off into the sunset with a second Super Bowl to equal his brother. As far as I'm concerned, isn't half the quarterback he is. And I mean, Manning's got the chance to be the only quarterback in history to win Super Bowls with two different teams. So there's plenty of records to be broken and made. Look, it's going to, I think it'll be really close right down to the wire.
Just out of interest, where are you watching it, Shane?
Well, I was going to go over Windsor Wolves, but I don't know what I'll be doing. I might just watch it at home. It's the first time in years, Jimmy, it's not a team I hate, because usually when the Patriots are there, I can't stand Tom Brady. So, but, I mean, either way, it wouldn't worry me to see either team win it. I mean, it'd be great for the Panthers, a young team that have only been in there since the mid-90s, and they've got a great fan base, and they're just full of great young players. But, I mean, you look at the Broncos, they've been built from the ground up with free agency. John Elway, the legendary Broncos quarterback, built the team up. And either way you go, I mean, Manning's going to go out as a legend, and Newton, well, he's going to have Super Bowls in front of him. So it should be a beauty. But look, to tell you the truth, if somebody give me $50, I'd probably have it on the Broncos at $3. It's great value.
All right. Well, we're not allowed to do that anymore. Okay, give away betting vouchers. it won't be us giving you $50, Shane, but we do appreciate you. Yeah, they are the clear favourites. But a lot of people saying that there's a bit of value in the Denver Broncos too.
Yeah, well, little aside, Jimmy, when we were travelling through America, we went via Charlotte, which is in the Carolinas, and the Panthers had just won a game the previous day to go 9-0 by memory.
Yeah.
And blazoned across the front pages of the three papers that were at the airport, the Carolina papers. They are massive news in North and South Carolina, as they would be across America now, the Panthers. And just that one loss in week 16. So you sort of think it's their Super Bowl almost to lose, isn't it?
Yeah, five-time MVP, Peyton Manning. Just the one Super Bowl win, though, and a couple of losses as well. So pretty outstanding family, isn't he? I see his father, Archie, who played 10 years for the New Orleans Saints.
And his brother is Eli Manning from the New York Giants.
Yeah, and there's another Manning. There's another brother.
Is there a third one?
Yeah, there's a third brother. Blew his knee out. I think it was his knee.
Oh, that's right. That was a great ESPN story.
House of Manning.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
phenomenal. Yeah, good one. Hey, Event Cinema's winner is Laurie from Chipping Norton. Good on you, Laurie.
Good on you, Laurie.
Those three questions. The first one, gee, that was a long time ago, Ray. The first one was... What was the first one?
We're late giving it.
Oh, Gerald Ryan. What's his role? Yeah. What's his role today in the wedding? Nothing.
He's father of the groom, but
he's
nothing to do.
He's father of the groom, so he's just turning up.
Go and enjoy it. Yeah.
John Gray was a school teacher.
That's correct.
He probably stayed school teacher all the way through. And Gideon Geller-Mosby was signed on the side of a road by his manager. So good on you, Laurie from Chipping Norton. You've got four tickets coming your way, courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta, and they're able to be used in any Event Cinemas around New South Wales. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break, Raymond, and come back and we'll wrap up this program.
Sky Sports Radio and Racing New South Wales are set to combine to bring you the very best in country racing. Starting Saturday, February 20, Sky Sports Radio covers the country championships from all angles. Goulburn and Scone commence the qualifiers that culminate with the $400,000 country championship final at Randwick on April 2. Hear all the country championship racing on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
John Yule Mazda is celebrating 25 years as a Mazda dealer. To mark the occasion, my mates have unbeatable deals across the entire Mazda range, with great drive-away specials, free accessories on selected models, and a bunch of ex-demo models priced to clear. Plus, purchase any new car from John Yule Mazda during the sale for a chance to win $25,000 cash. Take advantage of these incredible offers today. See John Yule Mazda, O'Regan Street, Alexandria, or johnyulemazda.com.au. DL395.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
And traffic moving well on Sydney roads. No accidents or breakdowns. The M1 is moving steadily southbound from the Hawkesbury through to the Sydney exit. We do have some special event clearways around Allianz Stadium, more parts for the Rugby Sevens. Also, a laneway festival at Lilyfield. Special event clearways on Balmain Road at Darling Street this morning. The only to occupy property in the City of Sydney, the election rules have changed. Find out if you're eligible at cityofsydney.nsw.gov.au today. Number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
With all the the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Now, we've got to decide at the end of the program, Raymond, who wins the ATC pass, the goal pass.
People can still call in. Still time, Jimmy.
Yeah, there is still time, and we'll get to callers very shortly. But, yeah, that's the 3 days at Rose Hill, the 3 days at Royal Randwick, and that includes Golden Slipper Day, and it also includes the two days of the championships, and that starts on March 11.
12.
Is it March 12? Yeah. Okay, March 12. Now, you think that perhaps Lou is in line for the award. Can you read out that
I'll
SMS?
Let you read that one out.
We were talking earlier about how Ray doesn't travel anywhere. He only, Scone. No, thank you. No, I'm not going there. We are going
I'd
to Musselbrook,
to
though. All the time Ray puts up with Jimmy, I'm surprised he doesn't just put on his Superman cape and fly to Scone. That's from Lou. Strong contender
Lou,
at this point.
Right
Lou.
In front of the game.
Now, this is an interesting one, eagle-eyed Phil. Jimmy and Ray, check out the list of unsold players at the IPL auction. You can make a good team out of them. So, yeah, this is on the back of Shane Watson.
1.98 million.
1.98, only Australian dollars, so 1.4 million USD. And you look at some of the unsold players, Marty Guptill, Hashim Amla, George Bailey, Mayela Jaya Wardner, Michael Hussey, Usman Khawaja, Brad Haddon, Cameron Bancroft, Telekaratna Dilshan.
There's some informed players there.
Nathan Lyon, Michael Beer, Rahul Sharma, Joe Burns, David Hussey, Adam Voges, Nick Maddison.
So a couple of those, Joe Wardner and David Hussey, a couple of years ago, I think 2000, went for multi-million dollar contracts.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you pick up Usman Khawaja?
Let's see what his reserve was. His reserve might have been... they can go back in. I think they can renegotiate and all that sort of thing. But, interesting, the players that have been left out. So they were unbeaten, Melbourne. This is an update. There's only about 30 seconds remaining in this sevens match, first of the day. They're being flogged by the Roosters, 26 points to 7. Let's go to Sava on the line. G'day, Sava.
Hi, lads. How you doing?
Very
morning,
well,
Sava.
Mate.
Mate, there's been no, the TV stations, there's been no free-to-air sport this weekend, and there's Rugby League Nines, Rugby Union Sevens, One Day is in New Zealand, plus numerous other things. I won't watch the car racing because I decided whether to watch my stopwatch or the car racing, and I watched my stopwatch, but other than that, why wouldn't they try, even a replay of the grand final would be interesting, but we get nothing on free-to-air. I know, fair enough, you blokes work for Foxtel there. But, gee, we need a bit of a go.
Yeah, no, it's a rare weekend, isn't it?
Sava?
Yeah.
Now, listen, just before you dump me. You
know, we won't dump you, Sava.
Hurry up then,
we
Sava.
Won't dump you.
Ray, I've been following a horse called Without Cover.
Yeah?
It runs in everything, and it's never won a race. Yeah. And here it comes round the corner without cover. And I've never...
he just keeps batting on, does he?
What's going on?
I don't know.
Not bad,
I'll check into it. But
yeah, without cover, I don't know who he's by. I know he's been covered by a stallion.
Oh, there's a good one.
Over and out.
Well done, Sava.
Thank you, Sava. And just on that, not on without cover, but just on the lack of sport on free-to-air.
Very rare weekend, yeah.
It is a rare weekend. And the other thing about it is it's the different... financial model, isn't it, that pay TV, and that there's a lot of interest in that sort of thing. And if they're not on the anti-siphoning list, then they're up for grabs. And this is where, you know, Channel 9, with their secondary, with their digital channels, they could have taken part thereof.
The Auckland Nines,
But they're
negotiate
on,
with Fox, perhaps, to show some of it. Yeah.
But they're on Fox Sports, Australia's sports leader. So there you go.
Oh, Jimmy. Outstanding. New NRL season about to start.
Oh, it's getting exciting. This is not a paid ad, but 8 games. Live.
It's fantastic.
In HD.
Yep.
Without ads.
Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, as we call it at Fox Sports, Super Saturday.
Yes. Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah. Jimmy, no, did a pay rise this year?
No. Anyway, just hanging in there. we've got to give away our prize winner. Who's our prize winner?
Who wins?
Oh, there we go, Lou.
Lou wins?
Yeah, Lou wins.
Well done. Congratulations.
Is Lou a boy or a girl? Not that it matters.
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. But well done, Lou. And we don't know where Lou is. So the ticket is, of course, to the 3 days at Rose Hill and the 3 days at Royal Randwick. So Lou might be at Randwick.
Yeah.
Sorry, two tickets. Yeah. Lou might be at Randwick, but...
doesn't matter.
It might be at Wagga Wagga.
He can go to all six or pick and choose the ones he wants to go to. That ticket, those two tickets go across those six race days.
Are they transferable? Put you on the spot, haven't I?
I guess so, yeah. You wouldn't know, would you?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you saying? Write the system? No. Even if they're not transferable?
If they're... Mate. It doesn't matter. They apply for the six Saturdays, Jimmy. So those two tickets, they apply for the six Saturdays.
You've been highly controversial today. You've said you won't travel to certain country towns in New South Wales. You've given Melbourne Racing a massive pull through for the scheduling.
All I said was Melbourne should take a nationalistic approach.
And now you're saying you can rort the system with the ATC. Who's been good enough...
Jimmy, you'll have us off air next week. We'll be set.
They've been good enough to provide us with a great prize.
And they're willing to do so and happy to do so and creating massive interest for the championships and the Golden Super Festival, despite what you're saying, Jim.
Now, what will you be doing for Super Bowl 50? You doing anything?
I've got a massive work day tomorrow. I've got a very boring. I'm hoping to catch some of it in between about 48 different things, including the late, great Colin Tidy's funeral. So it'll be standing room only there at Coogee, and one of the great gentlemen of the turf.
Yeah, actually, it was remiss of us not to make mention of it. The Colin Tidy tribute, of course, was the last race yesterday at Royal Randwick. So, yes, condolences to the family. Have a great day, mate.